Yachting Monthly, July, Libby Purvis. Life goes in stages. Even the most determined Kid Elton Botox beauty has to admit that eventually. There's a stage when you're single and broke and fancy free, and then the mortgageous settling down bit. There's a stage where you suddenly notice a new generation rising and your knees creaking. There's retirement, and if you last that long, there's decrepitude. Whatever the shape of your life, you keep finding that one stage has ended and another must begin, whether you like it or not. Children grow up, you move house, change job, get promoted, demoted, change partners perhaps. Change is the human lot, and the happiest people are the ones who roll with it. And perhaps it occurs to me, one of the reasons that boating people often seem strangely contented is that we get these life stages clearly dramatised by a change of boat. Even if we never move house or ever divorce and spend an entire life in the service of the National United Provident Equitable and hardly at all dodgy assurance company, our boats change. And each one is a solid acknowledgement that the tectonic plates of life have shifted. A few devoted souls keep the same beloved 110-year-old gaff muscle judger for 60 years and force it onto their children, but not many. Take us. Paul had his bouncy 22-footer plastic thing. I had a mirror dinghy on the reservoir. We met, pooled resources, and bought a grown-up boat, a Contessa 26, fit to face the Atlantic coasts of Ireland and Brittany. As a young couple, it did us very well. But panic rose when the first baby loomed. We vaguely knew that babies take up space, so we upsized to an oldish 32-footer, which frankly we never liked much. We looked sadly at passing folk boats and little Contessas, realizing that in exchange for standing headroom and nappy stowage, we had surrendered a certain freedom and prettiness. Life's like that. The babies made up for everything. Then they started walking and talking and being fit for proper voyages, and there was the gaffer Grace O'Malley with space for jigsaws and a toy cupboard and wide safe side decks and a steady gait fit for a family voyage round Britain. Then the kaleidoscope was shaken again, children grew older, had their own amusements, and we too went into a romantic wooden boat phase. For 6 years we grew to enjoy the gasps of admiration as the delicate old yawl minced prettily into an anchorage, and correspondingly we grew to dread the sound of water merrily tinkling through the planking into the bilges. So the current boat took over, brought from a young Antarctic adventurer who was in his turn gracefully accepting a new phase of life involving parenthood and a comfy multi-hull. For us, this tough old blue water lady has brought in a fresh phase, involving the Ostar for Paul and summers larking around on tall ships for me. And now, looking around us at people 10 years older, we start to see a new set of stages which await the mature cruising couple. Some, the more moneyed, seem to inherit largely or draw down lumps of pension as they pass 60, and they get alarmingly big boats, heavy on comfort, featuring baths for the stiff aging limbs and vast biminis for Mediterranean summers and Caribbean winters. They can do this because the National Equitable Watson has given them their retirement clock and the grandchildren haven't turned up yet. Good luck to them. Others merely make sprawly improvements to the old family boat and finally chuck out the shrimping nets and the scrabble board. Move on another 10 years, everything changes again. Old Mr. and Mrs. Ahab realise they don't want to voyage too far from the garden and the grandchildren, so they downsize. And they seem happy about it. I remember how the late editor of YM, Des Slightholm, wrote about feeling his age and downsizing. Yet one afternoon in the sunshine, there he was, whizzing past us in his little westerly Centaur in Salcombe Harbour to chuck a bunch of asparagus onto our stern deck. Some go further and get a nice day boat, perhaps a Drascom, and have dreamy adventures up the Helford River or the Deben, with a properly packed hamper of tapas and pims and a snoozing golden retriever in the bow. Then they go home and rest their octogenarian bones in proper beds, like sensible people. While with luck the growing grandchildren tidy the boat up and dream of the day they will go out on the proper sea in proper little ships of their own. And so the elders of the cruising tribe look back and see a timeline of boats, large and small, daring and domestic. They do not repine. Life moves on, the tide goes out. This is the wisdom of the sea.